This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. The world is a big, stupid place.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
And they're here to make fun of it. This is The Nate Darling Show. Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Hello, everybody. Back for the Friday episode. It is Nate flying solo this week. Explanation was made on the Wednesday show. If you're really that curious, go back and take a listen. because I am flying solo, show might be a little shorter than normal. I believe we were like at 25 minutes for Wednesday's episode, so nothing terribly short, but I'll try to entertain you with the nonsense going on in the world around us. How dare I do it alone? Well,
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Licensed by the Federal Communications Commission. It's all very true. All very true. Coming up on the show today, Florida Corner. Oh, it's Take Your Daughter to Work Day. Down on the corner. Plus, someone was doing naughty things in Wisconsin, which can be dangerous this time of year because it's chilly. And when is it not okay to drive with your ferret? I know it's a question you've been wondering about. We'll dive into all of that. And when I say we, I mean you and I. It's just going to be a one-on-one today. Just you and me. How's it going, pal? You hanging in? You having a good day? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, we're gonna make it better. We're gonna talk some crap on people and things, because that's what we do here. There's a lot of nonsense going on in the world, and we're gonna hit it. We're gonna hit it hard. so there's been a lot, and we've been taking the show away from being political for the most part. And we're going to continue to do that. This is going to try to be, for lack of a better term, a safe space to come and enjoy yourself. But this first story, it's not really political per se. I think stupid outweighs political in this case. There were some hunters in Texas. and there was a shooting. Let me break it down for you. Two hunters accused in a shooting on a remote Texas ranch near the Mexican border had told authorities that they were attacked by immigrants who had entered the country illegally. It sounds reasonable, right? Presidio County Sheriff Danny Dominguez told Odessa TV station KOSA that a grand jury indicted Michael Bryant and Walker Doherty last week on charges of using deadly conduct by discharging firearms in the directions of others. The charges stem from a January 6 incident where the police were responding to a call about a shooting on a ranch near Candelaria. They found Doherty and another man in the hunting party, Edwin Roberts, with gunshot wounds. "Hey, you shoot me, I'll shoot you back." The men were part of a group of hunters that told authorities that they were attacked by people who had illegally crossed the nearby border and tried to steal an RV some of the hunters were using. The problem with that was they actually investigated, didn't just take their word for it, found that Doherty shot Roberts and then Bryant shot Doherty. The hunters' claim became fodder for a Facebook post by Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, who wrote the attack was another reason why a wall must be built to secure the Texas border to halt, quote, violent criminals and members of drug cartels coming in. Dominguez at the same time suggested the agriculture commissioner, quote, needs to do his job and stick to it, and I'll do my job, end quote. Miller has attracted attention for his social media posts, and his comments about the West Texas shooting were shared more than 6,500 times before he deleted them. Now, authorities said about 30 law enforcement officers searched the perimeter of the ranch where the hunters were staying and did not find signs of people approaching the camp or trying to cross the border. So, yeah, leave blaming the immigrants to the president, okay? Just he does that really well. There was no evidence of cross-border violence at all in the case. So, derp-a-derp. Derp, 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 Texas. I just summed that up. It's not really a political story, but the politics of the day does sort of fall into focus with that one. Because, I mean, I suppose any time they would have done that, but still. He shot him, and then I shot him. We better make up a thing about the people coming across the border. Meanwhile, our neighbor to the north, Canada, a 24-hour traffic enforcement event. Do you really want to go to a traffic enforcement event? You're going anyway if you're in Edmonton. It resulted in 2,442 violations. That's a palindrome of numbers, people. Including a distracted driving ticket for a motorist wearing a live ferret around their neck. That's right, a live ferret around their neck. If you're driving right now, please put your ferret away. Although in California, it's illegal to have a ferret as a pet right now. Police issued 90 additional distracted driving tickets during the enforcement period from February 15th to 16th. Now, most of them were speeding tickets, with officers issuing almost 2,000 of those. They gave tickets for two vehicles that police say appeared to be racing near the James McDonald Bridge. There were also 10 criminal code offenses, and one vehicle stop resulted in the arrest of a female with 30 outstanding warrants. During another one, they found a vehicle and license plate were stolen, and a bunch of seatbelt infractions, red light violations, et cetera, et cetera. But really, Micah the ferret wrapped around the neck of its owner is the most interesting one of the bunch. So keep in mind, if you're going to be in Edmonton, and good God, why would you do that? Especially in February, if you're going to be in Edmonton, for the love of God, put your ferret away. And meanwhile, in Southern California, maybe a sign controversy is a bridge too far? Well, let's check in and see.
If the kids don't exactly know what it means, then they should be staying in class, maybe a little bit more, learning what it means. But she was pretty shocked. She knew what it meant.
This picture is stirring up parents in Carlsbad. Three teens holding up signs that read KKK at a Friday night basketball game between Carlsbad High and Sage Creek High School.
Actually, it's three individual students each holding a K, which basically means that any baseball game where there are three strikeouts, the people putting those K's up are also terrible, terrible racists. We carry on.
Mary Cagle's granddaughter was at the game.
She came home from the game and she showed me the picture, and she'd taken some friends from other schools to the school, and she was pretty horrified. I was really surprised to see her reaction.
It's very horrified to see the reaction, because it was nothing. It was nothing. What they're saying, it was a cheering competition between students sections. The administration had to step in when the signs were displayed right next to each other. Basically what the kids are saying is the letter K is short for okay, because that's way too much to put on a sign. Generally used by students in text messages. The signs were created by students as a response to opposing teams' chants, but were not intended to be held up next to each other or to represent a message other than okay. So it wasn't KKK. It was just three people with a sign standing next to each other. So maybe a little bridge too far in Southern California. But, I mean, hey, you don't want to just turn around and suddenly see the KKK is turned up at your school.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
KK, not okay. All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Texas. Nate? Whew. You know, this is really a tough one. Because there's a lot of great things about Texas. I mean, everything is bigger there. They do that TV show Fast and Loud in Texas. I enjoy that greatly. But because it's so much bigger, there's just such a large number of jagaloons hanging out there. And I borrow that term from Chad Dukes. Jagaloons. That I'm going to have to give Texas, despite its barbecue and Fast and Loud, a tool on this date. We will revisit later. Up next in Cooler Tool, ferret owners. Nate, what do you think? Ferret owners. Boy, you know, I hate to judge somebody by the pet that they keep, and I'm certainly not going to judge ferrets, because ferrets are you know, ferrets. They were born ferrets. They don't have any choice but to be ferrets. If you've ever known people who've had ferrets as pets, they're a special breed of different. They're like, you know, there's always some reason why a ferret's the best pet ever. It's not. It really is not. But they've got a lot of reasons why they think it is. So just because of that, because they're so overly ferreted up about their ferrets, I want to give them a tool. So that's two tools in a row. Finally, in cooler tools, school spirit. School spirit. Nate? School spirit. We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? Ready? Okay. School spirit's cool. Being too lazy to have okay on a sign is not cool. Come on, kids. It's one more letter. It's not really that hard, is it? You kooks. You crazy kooky kids. Anyway, that's going to do it for Cooler Tool. Another clean sweep of me agreeing with me, just like the last show. Who could have seen it coming? Who indeed? By the way, and this is where I mention this a lot because it's a great place to mention it. It's the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It's the cool thing to do because it helps you save money by shopping Amazon. And it helps out the show because they kick a little bit this way to help us manage expenses of running the place. You know, keeping the website up and being able to bring shows to you for free. So if you could go ahead and do that, that would be awesome. You just go to NateDarlingShow.com. You may even be there now. Click that Shop Amazon tab at the top left corner and shop like you normally would. It does not cost you anything extra, and it does help support the show. So thank you. Thank you very much in advance. Let's see. Here we go. I just got a quick note from the wife. She is still on the road as I'm recording this, and she apparently has to... she was at work late today and has to be in early tomorrow. That's no fun at all. All right. Meanwhile, in Wisconsin, another state I have not been to, a 22-year-old Madison man was tentatively charged by Capitol Police for lewd and lascivious behavior after running around inside the Capitol building naked. Capitol Police obtained video evidence of Russell C. Dupe, who's 22, taking off his clothes in the first floor rotunda at about 1:30 p.m. It's an odd time to do it. And running around the balustrade area completely naked and exposing his genitals. Well, that's what it is. A criminal complaint said that in the video, a little girl could be heard saying something to the effect of, "What's that?" in a questioning tone of voice. The man who took the video told police he was afraid Dupe was going to fall over the railing to the ground floor, and he, of course, wanted to get some video of that. Oh, he also said he was disturbed by the behavior. Mm-hmm. By the time the officers arrived, Dupe had put his jeans back on and was attempting to put his shirt on. He was with a friend named Thomas. Both men smelled of intoxicants. And Dupe apologized for being naked. "Sorry, I'm naked." the other man told police that he was Dupe's best friend and that they'd come to the Capitol to protest, and I quote, "the financial decisions of President Donald Trump." I don't know that streaking about the Wisconsin Capitol is the way to do that, Mr. Dupe and your best friend. Good Lord. See, this is what happens when you live where winter is really a bad, bad thing, because it just gets in your head. And the weather warms up a little bit, and you're like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do some things," and then you're running around the Capitol building nude, nuts akimbo. It's not okay. Meanwhile, in a small town in western Colorado, they've given the go ahead to a local business to open that state's first drive-through marijuana dispensary. See, if you're not living on the west coast of the United States, I'm sure you know, Colorado and Washington State have made recreational marijuana legal, and they've been selling it. In fact, on my trip to Seattle, there were marijuana stores literally everywhere. They're everywhere. Oregon also has made it legal, and California has too, but they haven't. In California, we haven't really set up the mechanism to sell it. So you can have marijuana for personal use. Someone can give you marijuana for personal use, but there's no selling mechanism because they haven't put that in place yet. But Colorado, they did that a couple years ago. So, the Tumbleweed Dispensary in Parachute said the Tumbleweed Express drive-thru is expected to open sometime next month in a former car wash located across the street from the pot shop's main location. The Parachute Board of Trustees voted to approve the annual renewal of the business license for Tumbleweed Express, clearing the final legal hurdle to opening the drive-thru pot store, saying, We think the drive-thru is a very creative and innovative idea. That's according to town manager Stuart MacArthur. Thanks, Stuart. Robert Goulding, a spokesman for the State Marijuana Enforcement Division, said Tumbleweed was given the go-ahead to proceed with its drive-thru after the regulatory agency was satisfied the business would follow the rules and regulations that govern Colorado's marijuana dispensaries. He said officials were particularly concerned about three rules. There are three: no shirt, no shoes, no dyes. The three rules are keeping those under 21 off the premises, including as backseat passengers in cars. So you can't go through the drive-thru marijuana dispensary with your kid in the car seat in the back, parents. Also having adequate security and surveillance at the drive-thru and ensuring no marijuana is visible from outside the licensed premises, which is possible thanks to the cover the former car wash affords to the drive-thru area. As far as I can tell, we're not aware of this business model ever coming up before. It'll have to follow all the rules and regulations that apply to every dispensary. Because in my mind, everyone in Colorado talks like a stoner. So yes, drive through weed in Western Colorado. All of these things are very interesting. When will there be drive through weed in California? And will it be in the town of Weed, California? These are things that we won't know until next year sometime. It'll come up soon enough.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
All right, well, it was apparently take your daughter to work day at the Motel 6. However, they weren't actually working at the motel. I mean, they were working at the motel, but they weren't working at the motel. See, a mother-daughter prostitution team is behind bars following their arrest in an undercover sting launched by Florida police. After spotting a Backpage.com ad placed by a, quote, sexy MILF with an awesome attitude and personality who enjoyed performing oral sex without a condom. Well, who doesn't? A cop called to arrange a $100 30-minute encounter with Tamara. According to the charging affidavit, Tamara directed the undercover officer to a Motel 6 in Kissimmee. The online ad claimed Tamara was 38 and she hated the taste of latex. Well, sure. When the officer arrived at the motel on Valentine's Day, he was greeted at the door by Tanya Gammon, who's 57, and she was wearing lingerie. After retrieving a condom from her purse, Gammon pulled the undercover cop's hand toward her crotch and said, and I quote, "You gotta make sure I don't have a dick." Really? As the cop waited for a takedown team to barge in the room, that had to be the longest few seconds of that man's life. Kevin kept grabbing my underwear until she briefly exposed my penis. That's Officer Rami Yacoub. Now, while being arrested, Gammon yelled, "I didn't take the money yet! I didn't take the money yet, so it really doesn't matter!" Upon entering the motel room, officers discovered that her daughter, Darcelle, is 31, had been inside a locked bathroom. Now, Darcelle was also dressed in lingerie, and it was clear that she was inside the bathroom listening and looking out for Tanya. Oh, she's got her mom's back! All's well that ends well. Anyway, they were turning tricks together at the Motel 6, apparently alternated as each other's lookout and security. As she was being driven to jail, Darcelle told the county sheriff's office deputy that she knew I was a cop and that I called her first, but knew better than to call back. They're locked up on prostitution and other charges in the county jail. Court records list the accused hookers as New Jersey residents. So, hey, thanks. Thanks, New Jersey, for giving us a great Florida story today. Hold on. I don't do well without the right music behind Florida Corner. And when it runs out, I need to have more music. There we go. I can't have just one Florida story. Sorry. It just doesn't work out that way. You deserve more. And here at the Nate Darling Show, we try to give you more. I think this one is fantastic, too. The report, Lake City car theft suspect falls out of tree trying to escape. That's right, a car theft suspect from Tennessee was injured when he fell from a tree trying to elude the Lake City police. That's according to their report. Apparently, Jacob Chuzy, who's 34, of Knoxville, Tennessee, climbed a tree on February 19th. Hey, that was my birthday. Chuzy was attempting to escape on foot after reports of an armed man acting suspiciously near a local motel. The call triggered a four-hour chase. 4 hours? Goodness. In which several citizens reported that an unnamed man tried to gain access to multiple homes. One homeowner spotted Chuzy on their home security camera and notified the police. That led to the location of the suspect. When he was cornered, Chuzy climbed a tall tree nearby. Well, sure, they'll never find him up there. Other officers climbed nearby trees and attempted to talk the suspect down, but to no avail. Oh, boy. When police tried to physically apprehend Chuzy, he fell to the base of the tree. I'm sure they were pretty disappointed at that. He sustained multiple fractures. Ow. Ow. Police are still looking for the gun that Chuzy is reported to have been carrying and are asking citizens to call them if they see it. Chuzy himself is charged with burglary, trespassing, car theft, and resisting arrest, and also imitating a bear out of season. Should have tried hibernating, my friend, because climbing a tree, everybody knows climb. Once you got treed, son. You got treed. Where are you going to go from there? There's only one way to go, and you went there, straight down. Sorry, I'd love to have sympathy for this gentleman, but no. What's really interesting is Florida Corner this week brought to you by out-of-state people. Because it was a holiday weekend, and I guess even people in Florida need to take some time off from their hilariously desperate and dangerous shenanigans. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you. I hope the day is a little better because you got to hang out for a little bit, hear about some stupidity. Have a great weekend. Back on Monday with another fresh new episode featuring me, myself, and I, and some grievances, and a lot of fun stuff for Monday's show. So we'll see you then, and bye to you, and bye to Flo Rida. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.